Bill Gates touched me in the naughty place.
Hello. I'm Tom Baker, and you are listening to my favorite internet radio show, Hacker Voice Radio. It's even more yummy than ice cream.
I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. You're joining us on the 16th of February 2006, and we're live from London. If you can hear us, that's a good thing. If you can't, then I'm sorry, but you're just not trying hard enough. In the right, in the red corner, we have Planet Lave, and in the blue corner, we have Bilal and Sapphire.
Hello.
Get ready to rumble! Yeah, sorry, I'm talking all over you.
I said you never said this is a tag team match, that's not fair.
Dun-dun-dun. Bum-bum. Ah, the lovely sounds of Ventrilo. That's currently a new software that we are testing out for conference purposes. It's been a good day, I guess. I don't know how it's been for you.
Damn fine day.
Weird weather day.
Yeah.
Why, what's it been like down your way?
Rain in the morning.
Damn.
Hail during 11 o'clock.
Yeah, for about sunshine, 30 seconds.
Sunshine. For about 1 o'clock and onwards. And then darkness.
Darkness from the depths of anal hell.
Like to welcome all our listeners, and straight into email news. We've got an email from an undisclosed source saying that I am the rock source, and no, I'm just kidding. Any news that you picked up on? I've got a few things that I want to talk about.
Oh, there's plenty of stuff today.
Oh yeah, it's a good news day. Which doesn't mean that we won't be talking about loads of other crap, but, you know, fear not, listeners. Researchers at the University of Toronto Labs are getting ready to release a computer program called Cyphon, I think that's what it's pronounced like, which will allow internet users in free countries to help users in more restrictive countries like China, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, etc. To access the internet by getting past the firewalls and hosting rubber hose crypto analysis, which is a drawback of other anti-firewall programs, as it reveals a user's tracks, and if discovered by authorities, they will get a good beating and seeing to. Operating through port 443, Cyphon will allow users in monitored countries the ability to send an encrypted request for certain information from for users in secure countries to send it back to them. The U of T's Citizen Lab hopes that to debut Cyphon at the International Congress for Free Speech Group PEN Pen in May. I don't know if I'm actually is that Cyphon? It is Cyphon, isn't it? P-S-I-P-H-O-N.
Yeah, it's a weird way of spelling it, but I assume they're trying to say Cyphon.
Yeah. That's pretty good, but I can see some drawbacks to this. One of the ones is obviously, if it's using port 443, they can then monitor the amount of traffic going through that port versus the amount of traffic going through port 80. They could, in effect, close port 443, or they could, in effect, request that information. Also, if you are offering your computer as a sort of open secure proxy, what it happens if this person searches for child pornography, would you still be liable and all that kind of stuff? It does raise some certain concerns, but I have to say, right on, brother, for trying and testing out this program. It's really quite good for freedoms and all that kind of crap.
Sounds pretty cool.
Any news from you?
Well, obviously, the one story that caught my eye today was the one about the prostitutes and the computer games.
Yes, I did post that, didn't I?
I mean, that actually came up on my RSS news feed.
Yeah.
And I was just skim reading the titles, and one of them said prostitutes, so I went straight to that one. The story is in two or three different places, but this one comes from the Register, Co.UK. And it says, prostitutes demand GTA ban. Ladies of the Night have jumped onto the Papa Cap in GTA bandwagon.
Ladies of the Night.
By demanding that all parents and gamers boycott Grand Theft Auto. That's the call emanating from the Sex Workers Outreach Program, SWAP, USA website. SWAP. Okay. Which says that, as concerned parents ourselves, we wish to inform other parents of the potential danger extremely violent video games pose to children. And possibly to prostitutes too.
Yes.
Although SWAP declares itself to be firmly against censorship, the blurb continues, in the interest of furthering sex workers' human and civil rights to life and personal safety, we object to any media which represents sex workers as legitimate targets of violence, rape and murder. So even the prozzies don't like Grand Theft Auto.
No. Not that they can afford to pay it, but... Have you seen a prozzy with a
PSP.
Standing in the corner while she's playing GTA and beating her? Oh.
It depends how many blowjobs she gives.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, that's going a bit too far, because obviously the whole slap my bitch up mentality has been around for years in America, the whole anger towards prostitutes and pimping your bitches and all that kind of shit and all the gangster, yo, kind of crap.
Mm. It didn't start with Grand Theft Auto.
Fuck, exactly. And this is just, it brings me on to the other story about a game called Getting Up, Contents Under Pressure, which is a, I don't know if anybody's heard of this game, but it's quite a cool game. It's about... like graffiti artists and getting your kind of reputation up as a graffiti artist and going around a whole city based on New York and putting up these fantastic murals and tags, and you're not just graffitiing with cans, you're going through wheat paste and you're using rollers and all this kind of stuff and also, there's quite a lot of stencil work in there as well. It says the Sydney Morning is reporting that Getting Up, Contents Under Pressure has been banned in Australia. The game involves battling the authorities to overthrow a corrupt officials using only street fighting skills. And graffiti. From the article, the decision was endorsed last night by Federal Attorney General Philip Ruddock, who had asked the board to review the game's MA 15 plus certification after local councils and governments voiced concerns that the game would promote graffiti, which is complete bollocks, because where else would you do it? Oh, then you just do it on the streets. I don't think this is going to be promoting any way graffiti, in the sense that graffiti in an art form, the way you can express it is in the game. But even in the game, you're not actually, it doesn't actually show the skill or how to actually do graffiti. It's not a graffiti simulator. The game isn't a graffiti simulator in one bit. It does rate you on the way you actually graffiti, but it's not actually technical. In the sense that, oh, I played this game, now I'll go out there with a few cans of paint and, spray up a tag. In the least, it doesn't actually do that at all. It's actually quite a cool game. But also, it's interesting that they're trying to battle this rating, in the sense that because it endorses, fighting against the government and going against, a corrupt institution that's suppressing human rights and privileges and liberties that these kind of kids want, and please do read more about this, because it's quite a cool game. I'm not saying you've got to go and buy it, but it is pretty cool, and also, the reason why they're banning it is because Australia doesn't have anything above 15 plus, or anything above the rating 15, because they don't have that 18 rating that we do here in America, which is the M, mature rating. So they've got actually no other classification for any games that are over 15, which is a bit stupid.
Yes.
So I don't see this game to be morally wrong at all. It's not violent in any bit. It's actually very realistic. Even the violence is very sloppy. It's very street-like. It's actually kind of comical. It's not very realistic either, you know. You've got guys jumping up through rooftops and stuff like that, you know. But it's also very entertaining, so I don't see this thing being banned. It's far less violent than GTA could ever be. Less.
Well, I think by banning it in Australia, they're going to send their sales to the roof.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they've definitely classified this. They've got a huge buy this now sticker. This game must be yours sort of thing, you know. It's like every time they ban anything like that, you've seen it so many times in music. You've seen it so many times in other genres. Every time something is banned, it's the must-have. It's the craze, you know. And there's also a good saying, you know, there's so many love songs around. And if songs and stuff like that would influence people, why doesn't everybody love each other? You know, it's just stupid to say that a game will actually promote children to go out there and start graffitiing. There's a huge mental aspect to actually picking up 5 cans of spray and actually going out there and starting to graffiti. It's better to express that in a game or on a piece of paper, rather than actually going out there and doing it. And I believe that, you know, if governments are so afraid of this, why don't they have designated graffiti areas where people can actually express their art forms? And I'm really against it. I'm really against the whole criminalization of art.
Yeah, and computer games.
Yeah.
But, as we've said many, many times, that I think the pair of us don't really think computer games influence anyone apart from idiots who can't tell the difference between reality and playing on the sodding PS2 or the PC.
The graffiti artist Banksy, he did a stencil that said, "This place is a designated graffiti area." In a space of 4 hours, the whole wall, it was a white wall, the whole wall was covered in graffiti. It was amazing.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And it looked really official as well. It had the Queen's arms in there and everything.
No, he stole that coat of arms from a packet of fags. That's It's in the book. It actually says that in the book.
Well, like Marlborough. Wait, no. Which ones have packet of... Which ones... Oh, it's like by appointment to the Queen or something, isn't it? He stole that one, didn't he? Yeah, that's it. He stole the House of John Player coat of arms. And he stuck that on there, which I thought was fantastic. Yeah. And anyone interested in artistic graffiti forms, please do check out, use your favorite browser to check out this guy called Banksy. He is really a top bloke, and he does some mad, very provoking, very revolutionary red stuff, if you see what I mean.
He mainly graffitis around the London area.
Yeah.
Like on, where is it? South Bank, around those type of areas.
And there was a funny story that he wrote in his book where he's a great fan of stenciling rats. And his friend said, "Oh, did you know that, you know, rats is just, what do you call it?
Anagram.
An anagram of arts." And he was like, "Well, I had to pretend as if I knew that all along." Anyway, maybe it wasn't that funny.
Weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, do a quick Google search for Banksy. You'll come up with a load of sites. Do an image search and you'll instantly see what we're on about.
Yeah. And I think we talked about him a few shows back. I'm sure I went about it. And, in Macintosh news, apparently... on the evening of the 13th, an unknown user posted an external link to a file on Mac Rumors forum claiming that to be the latest Leopard Mac OS X 15.5 screenshot. The file was named latestpics.tgz. The resulting file compressed and decompressed into what appears to be a standard JPEG icon in a Mac OS X, but is actually a compiled Unix executable in disguise. An initial disassembly from originally discussed thread reveals the evidence that the application is virus-like or was designed to give that impression. Routines included infect, infect apps, install hooks, self-copy. The exact consequence of the application are unclear, but according to the users of the originally executed, the applications have noticed that it appears to self-propagate. If anyone remembers last night, when Last Hope spread the picture in that open the terminal, I just turned on my other computer and it had an incoming file, which means that this virus not only installs itself on the machine, it also spreads itself across the network to other Macs using Bonjour and Rendezvous protocols, I believe. And it's still under investigation. But an update states that it appears that there has been some debate about the classification of the application. It does require user activation. It appears to fall into the Trojan classification rather than self-propagating through a particular vulnerability in OS X, which is probably what it is. Actually, it's not a virus because it requires user activation. You need to click on it, so it falls literally under the Trojan because it misleads you into believing that these are the new screenshots of the new operating system.
Yep, there's a load of information on this at sophos.com as well. Just in case you're worried about it, they've got all kinds of info there.
Oh, you're a Mac user.
Who, me?
No, I said if you're a Mac user.
Oh, yeah.
Noobs.
I thought you said you're a Mac user. I was going to say, how dare you?
What's that? Hiker drank urine to survive. Yeah, I saw that. You see that? I don't know if we should delve into this so deeply right now about the government giving you a double identity and stuff like that. I think that's a bit heavy, unless you want to talk about it.
No, I'm more worried about the main ID card, to be honest. This doesn't sound that bad.
Okay. But, let's see what this hike has been drinking. It must have been very thirsty. Sorry?
I was just going to say, funny thing about that article is that they actually named the guy.
Yeah.
You'll see it there.
Paul Beck, 33, was walking from a village to village in Craggy Pikens there, Europea, when he slipped from a path and skidded in the snow about 300 metres. The weather was lovely and sunny, but the ground was hard and icy in places, he said. I realized I'd broken my hip and was dislocated. It was in great pain. I thought I would piss on myself. No, I thought I could perhaps drag myself on the bum in the direction of the village, but it became too dangerous and I was afraid I'd plunge all the way down. I found a hollow and dragged myself in there. Luckily, the weather remained fine, but it was well below freezing during nights, which made me want to pee. I tried shouting, of course, that made me even want to pee more, but no one came, and I became thirsty, which made me want to pee, and then hungry, which made me want to poo, and I had to drink my own urine, which made me want to pee. It was salty at not nice.
Oh dear. If that happened to me, I would not tell the papers and
no.
I would not give them my name. Paul Beck drinks wee.
The only thing that kept me going was knowledge that my mother, who is Spanish and has a home in Galicia, northwest Spain, would raise the alarm and be disgusted at my pee drinking. When she did so, a civil guard rescue team with a helicopter immediately started lifing at him. Oh, God.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, if you got to drink your own pee, you got to drink your own pee.
No.
Yeah.
No. No, no.
You know what's the weirdest thing, though?
Yeah, but...
He was surrounded by snow and ice.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Wait a second. Wait one motherfucking second. Could you not melt snow and ice? Yeah. What happens when you melt snow and ice? Let's go back to chemistry right here.
Hang on, I know this one.
You get fresh water.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he not realise?
I think... They actually caught him in the act of having a half pint of his own piss. Yeah. He said, I had to do it to survive.
Went, surrounded by snow and ice. Could you not just, like, put a snowball in your mouth, crunch it a bit, it will melt in your mouth, and you just drink it? I mean, maybe it'll taste a bit nasty, but at least you're getting some sort of fluid rather than pulling your pants down, sticking your dick in the air, and trying to piss in your mouth.
What did he catch his piss in as
exactly.
well?
Exactly. I mean, whatever he used to catch his piss in, he could have used to get some ice in, and then just, melted it, with a lighter or something.
Yeah, or just his body heat.
Yeah. I think that guy's got some weird piss fetish.
What a weird story.
Who drinks their own... Ah, I mean, okay if you were in a desert. If you were in
No.
What?
There's also a theory, if you're in a desert... You dig a hole, put a cup in there, put some cling film over it, and
then piss on it.
No, the heat radiates, which creates condensation, which drips into the cup, and you have water.
Wow. Well, there you go. If you're ever caught in a desert, you need a cup, some cling film, and a shovel.
Never leave the home without them.
No. I mean, seriously, man. You're surrounded by snow and... ice, which is made of really, really cold water. It's water, but frozen. It doesn't take a lot to melt snow. Just put it in your hand, wait 3 minutes, and it's melted.
Did he ever do that thing when he was a kid? Stick your tongue out to catch, snowflakes?
Yeah.
Didn't he ever do that and get the logic from that?
I don't know. I think he might have been concussed.
Oh, dear. That's so weird.
It is, isn't it?
If anyone knows of a legitimate reason why you shouldn't eat snow instead
unless it's
of piss,
yellow
please
snow.
Tell us.
Yellow snow.
But I guess it doesn't matter for him anymore. He cut out the middleman, went straight for the dick.
Wonder if he had to piss in his own mouth.
It's also not very accurate. I mean, you get it all over the place. You waste more of the pee doing that. I don't know, maybe he had a thermos flask or something. Noob. Anyway, ripping CDs to iPods is not fair use. The EFF has this article about the RIAA, saying that ripping CDs and backing them up does not come under fair use. Ars Technica also reports on this by quoting, the submitting argument in favor of granting exemptions to DMCA provided no argument or legal authority that makes backing up of copies of CDs is a non-infringement use. In addition, the submission provides no evidence that access controls are currently preventing them from making backup copies of CDs or that they are likely to do so in the future. Downloading services are available and offer varying types of digital rights management alternatives. For example, iPod Fairplay technology allows users to make limited number of copies for personal use. Presumably, customers concerned with the ability to make backup copies would choose to purchase music from a service that allows such copying. Even if CDs do become damaged, replacements are readily available at affordable prices, which means you just have to dish out for another CD. Similar to the mentioned picture industry, the recording of industry has faced online piracy, a direct attack on its ability to enjoy its copyrights. It's fucking stupid, man.
Absolute crap.
He's going to stop you from backing up your shit. Not even the Queen herself.
How would they even know?
Yeah.
What they're going to do? Ban all MP3 players?
MP3 players outlawed.
Where did you get those MP3s? It better have been iTunes.
It's a bit like that MP3 memory tax, where I think it was in Canada they were getting taxed by the megabyte on how much space MP3 players had.
Do you remember CDs that? CDs as well.
Yeah, do you remember that? When CDs came out, there was the size of the CD tax and shit, just because somebody could end up, you know, making copies of that. Ridiculous.
Fucking daft, mate.
Fucking noobs.
I have just gone to Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves.
And asked him if I can eat snow. It's come up with some survivalist website. And it says,
interesting.
It says, do not eat snow as it tends to dehydrate the body. Although they do recommend melting ice and melting light, fluffy snow for water.
Right.
So
ice and fluffy snow is drinkable?
Apparently, yeah. If you
but
if
not
you
piss.
Melt it. I don't think that actually recommends piss over snow.
I think we need to have a experiment.
No.
I'm not getting involved.
Okay. Oh, God.
You're on your own there, mate.
We've talked about this before. It's the anti-teenager device. It's a burst of 80 decibel sonic sound that deters youngsters. A form of revenge against disruptive use is almost too sweet. A device that annoys teenagers so intensely that they have to disperse and loiter somewhere else. Police have given their backing on a gadget that sends out an ultra-high-pitched noise that can be heard by those under 20, and so distressing it forces them to clutch their ears in discomfort. Eventually, they can stand it no longer and have to move on. But because the body's natural ability to detect some frequency wave bands, this diminish almost entirely after 20. Adults are completely immune to the sound. Now, we had this test, and I can't fucking hear it at all, but Sapphire apparently can. And I was like, is it really playing? Are you just kidding me? She's like, yes, it's fucking, it's like some high-pitched violin thing. And I'm like, I can't hear shit. So obviously, I am now riot-proof. I can go out there and riot without having to be annoyed by the sound. If anybody is going to be doing anything to break these things, I would suggest that you put on a pair of ear defenders, and you, if you're under 20. The Sonic Teenager Deterrent, nicknamed Mosquito, because of its sound, has proved so successfully in warding off gangs from trouble spots that is being endorsed by the police and local authorities. The black box, which can be attached to the outside wall of shops, offices, and homes, sends out 80 decibel bursts of pulsating sounds of up to 16 kilohertz. The sounds to youngsters like a determined insect or very badly played violin, as described by Sapphire. But to adults, it's hardly detectable. What is more, shop owners can control the strength of the signal as a problem of loitering youths ebbs and flows, and it does not penetrate indoors. The system was the brainchild of Howard Stephan, a businessman and former electronics apprentice at British Aerospace, who was sick of use hanging around outside his local shop and basically pissing off customers. So I think this fucking thing is awful, to be quite honest.
I think it's incredible.
It's fucking...
I want one.
You want one? Why?
Because kids are up to no good. I'm over 20, that's why. They should put it in every classroom. Will you kids settle down? Whee! Little bastards. I think it's a great idea.
I don't know. I have to disagree.
I'm going to get one, put it on my car roof and just drive around town playing it. With a nice bit of Elvis on the stereo. Yeah. No drum and bass. That'll teach those pesky kids.
Uh-huh.
It's an incredible discovery, though, whether or not you condone its use, that it works on people under 20 and people over 20 just can't hear it. That's fascinating. Gonna have to read up on that. I'll bookmark that, actually. That's at the Telegraph site. Well worth checking out, I think.
Arse bandits, that's what they are.
Also, they've got a sound out that actually makes you shit yourself when you hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, the brown note.
The brown noise. Yeah. That's what it's called.
Which is...
They actually sat a guy in one of those portaloos, and they played the noise, and he shat himself.
Well, Scott Mills played that on Radio 1 once, one afternoon. And he was warning people for about an hour before, saying at 5 o'clock we're going to play this noise that's meant to shit yourself. If you don't want to join in this experiment, please turn off before 5. I'm not responsible for this. I've warned you for an hour. You know, and if it does have any effect, or if it doesn't, text in. And I don't think it really worked very well, probably because it's over the radio.
And yeah, and it's all fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
But did he shit himself?
He actually didn't, or he claims he didn't.
The only people infected was the ones in the fucking studio.
But there were people texting in saying, I've shit my pants, but you never know if they're having a laugh or not. You know,
I'm going to
sue you. They're probably swinging them up. I'll see you in court, fella.
When I change my pants. And clean myself up a bit.
Oh, wring out my socks.
Oh, God.
There's a cool little story here as well.
Yeah.
Again, from LucasAid's post today, which is about biofuel.
Oops.
And it says, if you recently filled up your car at a supermarket forecourt, you have unknowingly used greener fuel than you would have a few years ago.
Right.
The giant chain Tesco is now pumping a blend of petrol that contains 5% bioethanol.
Right.
Which is a type of alcohol made by fermenting sugars from plants.
Can you drink it?
Can you drink it?
Of petrol and ethanol? I'd recommend no.
Damn it. It said alcohol. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, no. Bioethanol, it doesn't sound tasty. I don't think it's any kind of alcohol pop. It says here that modern cars work incredibly well on it, and obviously the main benefit is you're cutting down on greenhouse emissions because you're using 95% petrol instead of 100%, and it's a renewable fuel source.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
So that's got to be good.
Yeah. But it's too late.
Well, it's better than doing nothing.
Sure.
I think we're still fucked.
Yeah.
Climate-wise.
You're looking at about 2020 before... Well, we're going to run out of everything by 2020. Seriously. Not everything, as in, like... That's quite a question.
What's that? Another 13 years? Oh, I'll be so old then, I won't care. Probably won't even know what's going on.
Come on, 13 years isn't that long for you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, what are you now? 28?
62. I'm proud of it.
Bollocks.
Yeah, I'm 20. Oh, God, I am going senile because I can't even remember how old I am.
28, you said.
No, right? I'm 28 this year.
Yeah,
that's
it. See, I remember you fucking don't even know your own age.
Yeah. How old am I? You tell me.
See, you're not actually that old. It's just
no.
You pretend to be, and
I feel old. That's
yeah. It's all those
years of
drugs.
Rock music and drugs, I think. Oh, flashback to Woodstock, man.
It's all those drugs you've been taking.
Yeah, by the bucket load.
Can't get enough of them. Let's see about this stat counter script injection. User session hijack. It's a little exploit that or a vulnerability in the statcounter.js JavaScript that was statcounter.com is one of the best known and most used website monitoring applications on the internet. To use StatCounter, a webmaster registers on the StatCounter.com site and provided with a JavaScript that needs to be placed on every page on the webmaster's website. Unfortunately, we have discovered a vulnerability that can disclose the authentication information of a webmaster and enable session hijacking for any use of the StatCounter.com service. The exploit is, find the victims. The attacker must first find a webmaster who uses StatCounter. A search on Google reveals over 7,500 websites. Because StatCounter has its own kind of a tag, you can just search for that tag. And there are always a million results, and these sites will have a snippet of JavaScript, something like the one below, which I'll read out, and is specific to the website. The attacker needs to note these for the exploit. Basically, the JavaScript links a portion which states the project, which is your customer ID. And a security identity tag, and basically where the JavaScript JS source is held, which is at www.statcounter.com/counter/counter.js, it creates a collection script on a hacked server. The attacker needs to place code on a server to capture the user's session and cookie information. This would usually be on a previously hacked box that would be accessed by a proxy, changing to hide identity of the attacker. I'll provide people with the script later on. And also, there's a way to do it through encode injection script. And there's a script to do that as well. And there's also a way to do it through HTTP injection script. So basically what happens is you can basically hijack the session that this creates. And it just basically shows how vulnerable websites are, which are using the StatCounter.com StatCounter JavaScript session system. I looked into this a while back because I found it was like ringing alarm bells in my head, it took me a little while to research, but indeed there is a vulnerability for it, and I will release the details in due time. Over to you.
Who, me?
Yes.
There's a cool story here on Slashdot, today's Slashdot, which caught my eye, and that is iDefense. A VeriSign company is offering $10,000 to any researchers who find and report to it information on a previously unknown Windows flaw, for which Microsoft will later issue a critical advisory. And apparently this comes straight from the WashingtonPost.com. It goes on to talk about how Russian hacking groups are paying thousands of dollars for new exploits so they can do the whole thing they did recently with a WMF doodah.
Doodah.
Yeah, so their kind of answer to this is to pay people to legitimately report flaws that they find in currently Microsoft Windows. Now, it does say that this is only open until March the 31st, and every quarter of the year, they're going to move it to a different area. So right now, it's Windows, later on it might be, I don't know, Internet Explorer, and then something else, something else, something else. They do say there's no limit to the amount of prizes, though.
Right.
If five, the example it has here is...
Put in pants.
Is what?
The prize.
The prize?
What do you get?
$10,000.
A mug.
A sticker rock.
You get a thumbs up and a pat on the back.
A vaginal enema.
Oh, dear.
Enema.
Anyway, the example as it is, if five researchers report five different problems, and then later on Microsoft releases a critical advisory patch for every single one of them, they pay out $10,000 per patch that they've released. So it's not just $10,000 and that's it. They would pay out for every single flaw that was submitted to them. That's pretty cool. If you're sitting on a previously unknown Windows vulnerability and you want $10,000, maybe you should check it out. Hey, it's your choice. Or you could go to the Russian Mafia, who might just chop your legs off. I don't know. I've never dealt with them personally, and I don't really want to.
Planet Live, we've been looking for you for a very long time.
Why you talk so much shit about the Russian Mafia?
In Russia, the shoe talks to you.
And that brings us on to our next hack, which is the shoe phone. A phone invented by a guy called, I think his surname is Friedman. I forget his first name. It was invented a while back, which was a phone concealed in the heel of a shoe, as well as other tools in the other one. This is a compact linesman's phone, equipped with all the kind of jazz you need, and that's the guy that invented it there, looking all smug and stuff. Andy, what's his first name? I don't know. It doesn't say. Anyway, check it out in our forums. It's under the general freaking section, and it looks pretty cool. I think it's a really cool hack, and apparently it was in the Guinness World Book of Records for the world's smallest phone back then, obviously, which is probably quite a while back. I don't know.
Yeah, 1985. It probably was the world's smallest phone.
Yeah, when that geezer was like 20 or something.
But it's the size of two shoes.
Yeah.
So, I think that's kind of been taken away from him in more recent years.
Yes. But, I mean, why would somebody want to put a phone in the heel of their shoe?
Not very practical.
It's like, you've got to take your shoe off to speak to someone, and it's covered in dog poo and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not very... I mean, Jesus Christ, man.
Well, I assume if it's a linesman kit, which it looks like from the pictures, and as you said it was, then it's obviously trying to hide it from people.
Sure. It's like a secret agent thing, isn't it?
It's a secret BT spy.
Yes. With a shoe phone. Shoe phone. And I saw your little picture there. I guess you Googled shoe phone.
No, I Googled Maxwell Smart.
Right.
You're probably too young to remember that, you whippersnapper.
Yeah.
That bloke's dead now.
Oh.
Poor guy. Only died last year, I think.
Right.
But yeah, that's from an old TV series, an American spoof spy comedy TV series in the 50s or 60s called Get Smart. And it followed the adventures of Maxwell Smart, a bumbling spy agent. And he always had a shoe built into his phone. That was like their best James Bond gadget kind of thing. And he had to keep taking his shoe off to answer the phone and stuff like that.
That must have been annoying.
Made me crack up as a kid. I used to watch that. When I was at school. Mm. The reruns of it. I wasn't at school in the 50s, 60s. No matter how old I say I am.
Whippersnapper.
So, what else do we have to enlighten our listeners with? From that silence, I'm guessing not very much.
Not a lot. That reminds me, Paul Daniels has got a blog.
Right.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Oh my god, don't remind me of him when I was a kid. So
what happened when you were a kid?
He got me up on stage when I went to his magic show.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
We did the ring trick, you know, with the three rings.
Mm.
He goes, can you see any holes in it? I goes, yeah. He goes, where? I goes, right through the middle there. He goes, no, not like that. And he said my dad looked like Captain Birdseye.
Does he?
Yes, he does. But he's got a black beard.
You wait till he gets a bit older. That'll be ace.
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
Belial, any special Paul Daniels memories from you?
None that I can remember.
You've blocked them out mentally. But yeah, it's really weird to read. I actually found that because of the fake Barry Scott blog.
Barry Scott.
Hi, Silly Barry Bang. Scott here.
I'm here to tell you about Silly Bang.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, one of the links on that is to Paul Daniels.
Oh, that'll never get old.
I can't remember the address for it now, but search for it, if you bothered. I'm not saying you have to.
If you don't, we'll find you.
And we'll put you in a box and saw you in two. And then put you back together again.
Ta-da! And just to announce everybody that the IRC server will be having some scheduled maintenance downtime on Saturday for about 2 to 3 hours from the hours of 1 p.m. And this is to fix a few things, upgrade a few things, and install one or two things.
Jolly good.
It's got an uptime of about 4 months now, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah, it is, mate.
Oh dear. Sapphire just gave herself a blue tack moustache.
Well, everyone's got to have a hobby.
Yeah.
Now go for the beard to match. Yeah, go for the goatee beard. It's a classic. It'll work in blue tack, trust me. You saw the link I put in IRC, didn't you, about the London 2600.
Yeah. Update. Oh, it was huge. I had to spend 20-30 minutes reading it. It
took me 3 days.
We were talking about everything.
So much stuff.
I mean, well, the reason I think why you posted that is because everybody was so fucking drunk to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were saying this on an old show shortly after we came back.
Yeah.
From the meeting. And we said, well, they've not posted the notes of what was discussed. That's a bit weird. And, you know, we were pretty pissed, though. Everyone was. So I guess no one can remember it. And now they have actually put a link up to the notes from February the 3rd, I think it was. And you go there, and it's just a blank page. Nothing. Here are the list of the topics we discussed. Nothing.
Alcohol and what alcohol?
I remember it was just getting drunk and having a laugh, really. I wasn't doing any technology stuff, but I rarely do it at meetings, so.
Yeah.
Made me chuckle.
I wonder what the mid-month will be like, which is going to be tomorrow.
Ah, yes.
So, I'm guessing, well, what I was hoping to do tomorrow is go to the Min Month and then call in to Skype, and hopefully you'll be there as well during the show, and I'll leave the stream running constantly so that whatever is said can be heard, and also I guess you'll have to record it.
Right.
If you see what I mean. What do you think about that?
I'm thinking. Please wait.
Loading.
CPU 100%. So if I'm on the Skype with a phone number.
Yeah, I'll call in.
The dial-in number, you dial in.
I'll call in to Skype at my house computer. And
yeah.
All you have to do is call in to
the thing.
The Ventrilo thingy.
Right.
Because Google Talk doesn't automatically pick up, does it? Unless I've missed that.
No, not
feature.
As far as I know. I've seen it.
Notifications, chat, general... chat.
Yeah.
No.
Fudge it. Let's give it a go.
Yeah. Let's give
and
it a go.
See how far we get.
Yes. And so, what will happen is you'll be on the Ventrilo. I'll call in. You should be able to hear me. If not, then we're fucked. Let's just give it a test after the show and see if this actually works. If it doesn't,
yeah.
then obviously, you know, we can't do this.
Cool. Let's
okay.
give it a test
run. Excellent. So, what the hell are we going to finish the show on? It's one big question, isn't it? Let's see if I haven't got any Elvis on here. Because you mentioned you'd like Elvis. No, I don't.
I love a bit of the King.
Don't have any Elvis stuff.
You suck sauce.
What else do you think I might have? How about, what's his face? The gay guy.
That narrows it down.
The Queen. Fucking. Not.
The Queen's not gay, is she?
The guy on the piano.
Elton John.
Elton John.
Give us a bit of Elton.
Let's see if I've got any.
And you don't.
And I don't. I'm sure I've got Elton John.
This is why we stopped doing
yeah.
this after about show number 3. You keep asking me, what do you want for the closing music? Oh, I'll have a bit of this. Not got any. How about this? Not got any. How about the Beatles? No.
Yeah.
How about this?
No. The Beatles.
Oh, I've got a CD of them, but I don't have it on here. How do you spell Beatles?
B-E-A.
B-E-A?
Yeah. L-E-S.
Alright. I've got some beatboxing. No. I don't know. Blowjob.avi sounds good. Oh, it's because I'm scanning for video, not audio.
Play us blowjob.avi, sounds alright.
Let's try this again. Elvis.
Okay.
Zero.
Elton John. Zero.
Beatles. Ooh. But it's got nothing to do with the Beatles. Nah. Michael Jackson.
No.
Yeah. It fits his early stuff.
Michael Jackson beat it?
No.
Nah. Nah. What about some DJ Format?
Who?
Have you ever heard any DJ Format?
Never heard of him.
Nah, that's too new for you, isn't it?
Yeah. It's after 1995.
Yeah.
Avalon.
What's that?
That Avalon.
I don't have it. What else? Name me a band, any band.
How about The Doors?
Fucking...
Zero results found.
Zero.
Ramones?
Oh, Ramones.
You gotta have a bit of the Ram ones.
Ram ones.
I'll never live that shit down.
Failing that, the Rolling Stones, perhaps?
Yeah.
They
were
quite big for 40-something years.
Oh, what's that one by the Rolling Stones? Like,
Roll that stone, no, ooh.
Sympathy
ooh.
For the Devil, or something like that.
Rolling the Stone.
No, Sympathy for the Devil, I love that song.
Okay.
Play that if you've got it.
Yeah.
I've got some of this stuff.
What's that?
I can't... If, for the love of God, Winamp didn't crash, why does this do this to me?
It doesn't like you.
And it's asking me to upgrade it.
Tell it to piss off.
Yes.
You'll upgrade when you're good and ready, not before.
Just like Crashers.
Right, get out the guitars.
Oh, for fucking anus sake.
Get out the guitars, then. Come on.
Get out the guitars. We're going to have to go fucking old school. Hacker Voice Radio, unplugged. Do you play the guitar by any chance? I don't remember you saying yes or no to that.
I know about 3 chords.
Oh, cool. Well,
that's all right.
Most songs...
I just can't play them together.
Most songs are 3 chords long.
Yeah, but not with 20 minutes of silence and umming and ahhing in between them. And looking at the book and going, hang on. Oh, I know this one. Ta-ling.
Well, let's play some Muse. Timing's running out. I think that's a classic, so I guess we'll just end that. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Cool. Thank you for listening to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. You can always email us. radio@hackervoice.co.uk is the address to send all relevant emails to. I hope to see everyone at the next mid-month meeting, which is going to be somewhere across the street from Drudgery Lane Theatre. And good night.
Good night.
You have been listening to Hacker Voice Radio.